the autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion. You can find me on Studio B every Thursday, 1700 hours Pacific time, that's 8 p.m. Eastern. No topic taboo, no subject too strange. I strive to take a neutral standpoint during the dissection of the topic at hand. That's Reality Extraction with Mr. Rowe on Revolution Radio.
Oscar's freeze. That's your cerebral cortex looking for an answer it doesn't have.
See? Even your brain knows you're screwed.
Your body's filling with adrenaline right now. Whether you know it or not. The heart's beating fast. It's getting a little harder to breathe. The neurobiological system is telling it to run. But your knees are too weak to move.
Fear is not real. The only place that fear can exist is in our thoughts of the future. It is a product of our imagination, causing us to fear things that do not at present and may not ever exist. That is near insanity. But do not misunderstand me. Danger is very real, but fear is a choice. We are all telling ourselves a story.
Listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. 100% listener supported radio. Reporting the danger. Unafraid. Right here, where information never sleeps. Revolution. Radio!
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Gain-of-function research has the potential to unleash a global pandemic that threatens the lives of millions. Yet this is the first time the issue has been discussed in a congressional committee. I'm sure each member of this committee, as well as the full Senate, can agree that we need stronger government oversight of how our tax dollars are being used to finance experimenting with possibly fatal diseases.
Because the intention also is to reduce the number of people in this world. At the time when the New World Order was enunciated, the population of this world was only 3 billion. The intention was to reduce it to 1 billion. Now the population of the world is 7 billion. There will be a need to kill many billions of people or to starve them to death or to prevent them from giving birth in order to reduce the population of this world. This is what is in store for most. For those who will suffer and die, there will be the peace of the grave.
Fuck you! Hell Hydra! Hell Hydra!
Here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. is he? From planet to planet, and star to shining star, from out of the night, and into the light, from the pyramids of Pisa to the pyramids on Mars, from the dark side of the street to the dark side of the moon, from the ancient antediluvian past to the furthest reaches of the far-flung future. From science fiction to science fact, from conspiracy theory to conspiracy reality. From the light year across black hole at the center of our galaxy to the beating middle of the human heart. From everything good and great to everything evil and dark. From the twisted diabolical minds of George Soros and Bill Gates, Mark Zuckerberg, David, and all the Rockefellers. Trying to take down the council with its bloodlines and its billions. Standing with the group. Who are defending us from all enemies, foreign and domestic, terrestrial and extraterrestrial, interdimensional and otherwise. You've got it, the greatest radio show in history, in all time, in all space. From the man who, if he slapped you in the face, you would say, oh, thank you so much. And you'd never wash that cheek again. It's, of course, Strange Universe Radio. With a man so nice they named him thrice. The reason dinosaurs are extinct, because he can travel through time. Oh, and they smoke. It is I, currently the greatest living radio talk show host alive. The man so nice they named him thrice. It's me, Sean David Morton. Take that, Skippy. Oh, why are you calling me Skippy? What's wrong? All right, everybody. Welcome to Feliz Day. I want to say thank you to my partner, compatriot, the martial arts expert, Kato, to my Green Lantern, the Sancho Panza, to my man, La Mancha, Montgomery, Crazy Legs Dean. Why do they call him Crazy Legs?
Because my legs are crazy, my good man.
There you go. He's crazy. He's the general. Very good to chime in right on tune there. Oh, well, it's been a bad day. I'm going to take it out on all of you. So, you know, you guys get to hear about my terrible day. All right, stop it. That's the song that comes after I Roller and the Crystal Method Out. Or does it? No, I think it's that was something else. That was it's a High Roller remix called 6-4. Okay, bunch of good fun today. It was one of those things where I had to thank you, Monty, for filling in. I had to go to the doctor early this morning. I still cannot pronounce his name. He's part Chinese and part Filipino. Was supposedly the best doctor in the area. His name is Dr. D. Yeah, that's Tijuayu. I can't pronounce it. It's like he comes from the land of no consonants. I'm sorry, what? Choya. His name is Dr. Tijuayu. There's a lot of unspoken things and frequencies and all that stuff. He's supposedly the best guy in the business on everything. So, I didn't exactly know what I was expecting when I went in there. Of course, this guy is a surgeon. And it's kind of shocking because you stand there and a guy jams a big tube up your nose, says, oh my God, jams in your ears, oh my God, jams it down your throat, oh my God, So there was a lot of that going on, and he made my wife cry, which made me feel very bad. I'm not sure I should even bring her into these things with me, other than the fact that she gets to finally realize how really sick I am. Not just mentally, but, you know, so there you go. So he's, apparently the reason I can't breathe through my nose is because it's completely jammed up, because I've had it busted a bunch of times. Because I was a rambunctious boy. I was, you know, I worked in a lumber camp. I worked in, I was a wrestler, a second degree black belt. You get punched in the face every now and then, especially when you're learning stuff. But, you know, I boxed, I wrestled, you know, I did Muay Thai, I did Jeet Kune Do. I was actually, this is absolutely true, I was kicked in the face once by Bruce Lee, personally by Bruce Lee. His foot actually connected to my face. He was doing a demonstration over in Oakland, and of course we went over there. My next-door neighbor, well, he lived in Atherton. You don't have next-door neighbors. You've got rolling estates that intersect in the palatial splendor in which I grew up, and because my mother and biological father were married until I was about 8 or 9. And then they broke up, and we lived a life of complete abject poverty, rolling from place to place. Actually moved to Texas, which, again, I'm sorry, it's the most horrible place on earth. If you guys are considering Texas, please drive through it and go to Florida. Or there's some place where it's standable. So, yeah. So in the course of that period of time, and there was a demonstration he was doing in Oakland, and we went over to go see him. And he said, I'm going to put my right foot on the left side of your head. I'm like, okay, try it, Chinaman. And by the time I got that out of my mouth, he was like, his foot was on the side of my head. And he was way over there. I mean, he was like 8 to 10 feet away. And he's like, you know, on your guard. I'm like, okay. And I went spinning around and laid on the floor while he was going, wah! And he came over, picked me up, and said, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, that hurt. I got a standing ovation from the crowd when they finally got me up. So anyway, I went to go see this doctor, and the doctor said, well, here's what we can do. We can do surgery on the cancer in your throat. And I was like, okay, well, what does that mean? And he was looking at me going, well, what we have to do is we have to go in there, and we're gonna carve out this tumor that's at the back of your tongue, and of course we have to remove your tongue. Then we're gonna reconstruct it. And I said, how are you gonna do that? He says, well, we'll take like fat from your arm or your buttocks. And I was like, well, that would be interesting, because you're telling me so for the rest of my life I would be kissing my own ass. And he thought that was kind of funny. I did not. And but yeah, they'd have to reconstruct basically. And he was talking about actually removing my jugular, because the tumor is wrapped around my jugular, which is also wrapped around the interior and exterior carotid arteries, or they pronounce it different ways. But it's basically the veins that bring blood into your head and bring blood out of your head. He also said, well, you'd have to have a tracheotomy tube, so you can breathe, and then and then we might have to put a tube in your stomach in order for you to eat. So I would be basically tube bag man, and you know, and then that's got about an 80% chance of getting it all. And I'm like, wait a minute, you're talking about carving me up like a piece of steak, like Frankenstein's monster, and you're telling me it's only 80%. So he said, well, it would have been 100% had we been able to get a hold of you sooner. And I thought, well, I went from 16 months in federal prison at a horrible place in Texas, because what happened was is that I was at a camp in Tucson, right next to a camp where they hold all the child molesters and Jared and the Captain Phillips pirates and things like that. And when I wrote a motion to be released, the DOJ, who are really stupid and can't win most cases unless they cheat, and 75% of their cases are for conspiracy. And I was charged with conspiracy to commit a thing. Well, I wouldn't even say what thing it was that I committed, for writing letters to banks in giving them to friends. There was only about 10 of them, only 10 of my friends who were trying to stave off the banks, and wrote them letters to the banks. And then, so if I say you owe me money and you say nothing, and I send you another letter. This is what credit card agencies do all the time. Send you another letter saying, okay, well, I've put together a way to settle this, and they say nothing. And you're like, okay, well, then I guess it's settled. And, you know, that's what we call novation and accord, perfectly legal, accord and satisfaction. And they didn't like the fact that I was submitting paperwork with these things to basically offer full payment for this, because what they don't want you to know is you basically sign a paperwork for to reverse their lien on you. And most people don't realize that when you buy a house, they give you the house. You are the home owner. And then they switch it around, and then they place a lien on the house, and then you're paying down interest and whatever else on a lien that is your property. And what they do is they go into the Federal Reserve, and the Federal Reserve basically prints money out of your credit. You've got this credit at the Federal Reserve, whether you know it or not. They drew it against you the first day you were born by doing a birth certificate for the state and then a birth certificate for the federal government. And you'll notice that you have two, a certificate of live birth and a birth certificate, which are issued on two different days. One is the live birth certificate. Mine's October 1st. Same day as Putin. Same day as God, you know, same day as Putin, same day as Julie Andrews, same day as Richard Harris, same day as all these interesting people. And then they issue you another certificate. Actually, mine was issued on Halloween, which amused my mother, no doubt. You know, you little monster, your certificate's on Halloween. Why did I have children? Beats me. I didn't pick you. Well, unfortunately, in Buddhist thought, you do. You pick your parents. And if you're very spiritual going in, you can actually pick your parents and have a high birth. And if you get kind of screwed, then you get sucked into the first couple in the orgy, in the bardo, so to speak, which is what then pulls you into life again. So anyway, my mother was probably the nastiest person alive, but you know, not supposed to say that, I guess. So today when the doctor's looking at me, it's just like, you know, he's talking about carving me up like a steak. And then I'll probably have to be trained again to speak. Not that I do a good job of it now. And like I said, made my wife cry, which kind of hurt my feelings. And I guess I was going to make the face and go, see, I told you I was sick. And it was kind of bad. Now, he said if I'd gotten it earlier, if they'd caught it earlier, I said, sir, I was in federal prison where I had no access to medical care, where what they do is that if you file motions and it looks like the motion is going to be successful and you catch these DOJ bastards, and by the way, all of them are scum. I don't know how anybody deals with the federal government at all. On every level that I dealt with the federal government, they are swine. They are absolute scum. And if the only thing that if and when Donald Trump goes back in office, he's talking about from day one, now this is Steve Bannon talking, he's talking about from day one that he will shake up the entire system. He will burn it all to the ground. Good. He needs to start by going in and firing every single person that works for the Department of Injustice. And by the way, did you know there's two? Did you know there's the Department of Justice and the Justice Department? You know, they're two completely separate entities, if you know that or not, because one's corporate and one has an actual function within the democracy. So they get away with a lot of the stuff that they do by pretending they're a corporation. Like, for example, there used to be the United States Post Office, and the Post Office decided they could not move forward because the Constitution has first-class rates at 3 cents. It's still in the Constitution. They couldn't change the Post Office rates, 3 cents, mind you, it's right there, but they couldn't change it without some kind of constitutional amendment every time they wanted to raise prices. So they ditched the United States Post Office, which still exists, is still out there. And in 1971, they brought up a corporation that was called the United States Postal Service. So, for example, you've got internal revenue that comes under Title 26. I don't want this to be a big legal show or anything, but comes under Title 26 and is legitimate and is part of the Treasury. But they decided that they couldn't get away with a lot of stuff they were doing under the cloak of the federal government. So what they did is they changed the whole thing in 1971, at the same time that they changed the post office into the Postal Service. See the difference? So the service is now a private corporation. It's got a Dun & Bradstreet number. You can look it up. And, of course, as a service, they can charge you whatever they want. They can raise the postal rates. They can do whatever. Now, Internal Revenue, which comes under Title 26, they changed it to Internal Revenue Service. You get it? So now it's private. And originally it was based out of the Philippines. They offshored all this stuff so they could get away with all the illegal crap that they do. Now, it was all in the Philippines before. And then when we gave the Philippines back, I think it was 1946 or so, gave the Philippines back, they changed it to the service. And the service then became domiciled in Puerto Rico. Which, again, that's why Puerto Rico is never going to be a state. It will never be a state because every federal corporation, we're talking CIA, we're talking IRS, we're talking all of these nasty, skeevy organizations are now they're companies. And they all have Dun & Bradstreet numbers, and they all do business. And they've got a, you know, when I was going up against the SEC, I noticed that they were all independent. They were all basically franchises is what they are. And there was a franchise in New York where I didn't do anything. And everything they sent me, I just wrote, fuck you, across the front of it, and sent it back, accepted for value, return for value, under USC 93, something, you know, a bunch of indicia that I put on it, and sent all the stuff back to them and said, I'm not under your jurisdiction. I didn't do anything in your jurisdiction, so you can all piss up a rope. And by the way, they said, where are you hiding $6.7 million and all this other stuff? It was against a corporation that had nothing to do with us, that just so happened to have the same name as us in Florida. So all the stuff that they put together and all this paperwork they threw at me was like completely null and void. And when the attorney that I hired, who was an ex-SEC guy, and I enlightened him to the fact that these guys were private corporation, here's their Dun & Bradstreet, here's the whole thing, he threw it back at him and said, do you understand how companies work? Oh, yes, well, we're the SEC, of course, we know everything. Well, it just so happened that Bennett Ellenbogen, who was the agent, who was this weird, gay, queer Jewish guy, who literally looked like Gollum with a Jew fro. I'm not kidding. He was like, I'm precious. And he had this other buddy with him who wasn't such a bad guy, but he looked artificial. He was wearing makeup. And it was also strange too because the lady that they had as the transcription girl, she in between the things of what they called the deposition, even in the fact where they said you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and I was like, no. I'm like, what? I said, no. I don't have to swear to you. I'm not going to swear to you. I'm not going to put my hand in a Bible and swear to something that you have no power to make me do. So, you know, you'll get the answers that you get. And that completely unhinged him because then they didn't know what to do. And but in the end, the lawyer goes, you know, this is not you. This is a company. This company has the same name as you that functions out of Florida. So none of it was real because they're trying to say I'm hiding money and doing all this stuff. And I didn't. I lost everything I owned. And, you know, $300,000 of my own money went into all this. And I'm trying to say, so you're telling me I scammed these people with my money. So that was interesting. And anyway, neither here nor there as far as my bad day. So in the course of all this, after all this bad news from this doctor who basically said, I said, well, so what am I supposed to do? I mean, the guy also said, well, I basically have to slit your throat from one end to the other because you have cancerous tumors on the left side that are growing or whatever. He says, I don't know how you've kept it at bay this long because either it's a very slow rolling cancer because he says, well, slit your throat and then there's some nodules on the other side, on the right-hand side, that also need to be taken out. So I'm talking about getting my throat slit. I'm talking about getting a tracheotomy breathing tube. They're talking about putting something in my stomach to feed me. They're talking about cutting out my tongue and using other parts of my body. This is how bad this is, folks. And again, the only reason I'm able to function on the radio, and I really, really appreciate Monty filling in for me yesterday because I was wiped out, is that I have a throat coat tea. I'm sucking on cough drops. I'm gargling with the tea tree oil like five times a day. Twice a day, I'm sucking down this blue scorpion venom, which is called Escazool, if you want to take a look at it somewhere. All right, so there you go. And it goes on. We'll go into the adventures of my insane landlady after this. Thank you.
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
Transcending time and space, let us take you to the place inside your mind where thoughts divide and mysteries unwind. Join us every Monday evening right here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. And you will catch the Fenton Perspective with our great host, Lorian Fenton. Come listen in as she shares her amazing stories from the past to present, along with all of her guest secrets to the future. That's the Fenton Perspective every Monday evening right here from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time, only on Revolution Radio. Oh, and you don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance and loud voices to make a change. Time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener supported radio station on the planet, not giving up. Revolution Radio.
right, thanks for listening while we take that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Who's a big fan of Strange Universe Radio? You may have monkeypox and not even know it. Which, of course, means you may be a chimpomatic. Oh, welcome to the gallows humor of a man who's dying right before your eyes. All right, tonight the moon's in Scorpio, so that means we're going to have all kinds of weird sex stuff on here tonight. Even if it's monkeys. Sex monkeys! Hate that, those damn sex monkeys.
I'm a boy, well, I'm your mother. I'm a one-night stand, am I by? I'm a slave,
I'm a little girl. That's something that's funny. We make love together. So when you go to the hospital now, you know, they hand you a face mask and a diaper, because the face mask is keeping you from getting COVID. The diaper's to keep you from getting monkeypox, because you can have monkeypox and not know it, because you may be, again, asymptomatic. Also, I play this tribute, it's kind of a weird anniversary, but... I know. Monty's going to say, oh, is there anybody you don't know? So my flatmate in college, my dorm mate, we were on our intramural football team, flag football, which we were champions. We were like all dorm champions at USC. Was my very good friend Matt Cohn. And Matt was a keyboard player, and he was in Berlin. And he and another fellow in Berlin died in a plane crash, which was very... So God bless you, Matt. I miss you. And quite some time ago. I don't know why these little bands always get plane crashes and all that. And, of course, you have Terry Nunn, who got him famous. But there's this guy named Richard Blade, you probably know him. He was on a station called K-Rock. And I guess she got her songs played by... by stroking the old bishop, eh? Giving him a little kiss, what? Got Richard Blade to play. But just to make Monty angry...
This should be good.
Oh yeah, it's Monty says you name drop and it's everybody you don't know. So I was kind of worried about this, and I've had some conversations with Val Kilmer, actually, because Val has the same thing as I do, or had it, or whatever. And I'm also good friends with Val's girlfriend. But, I mean, I've known Val literally for like 40 years. And this was back when I was, I met him actually because I was producing, and this is where the name dropping comes in, because I was producing a play. It wasn't just me, it was like 20 other people. We're producing a play in Los Angeles, which was called Hurley Burley was the name of the play. And it was, it was written by David Rabe. And he was a director and a playwright, whatever. I mean, I thought the play was terrible, but it's basically about a bunch of hopped up cokeheads in Los Angeles. And you'll recognize some of the names in there. It was actually Sean Penn actually started it. I do not believe the women that Sean Penn has had sex with, some of these goddesses, because he is such a jerk. He's a real goob. And I think I've told the story before, but anyway, Sean Penn, Val Kilmer, Robert Downey Jr., who I was actually at a party with Robert Downey Jr., where my other friend, who was friends, I knew him, was Anthony Michael Hall. And we're in the bathroom actually wrestling, I mean, getting in a fist fight with Robert Downey Jr., because he was going to jump in his car with his kid and a gun, hopped up on all kinds of stuff. Now, you never heard about the kid and the gun in the car because they kind of covered up that stuff. But he got in the car. I mean, three sheets to the wind, completely blotted out with his kid in the back seat with a gun, some kind of .45 in the glove box. And that was the night that it was the beginning of the end of his life, basically, as far as that goes. And had it not been for Mel Gibson kind of taking pity on the guy and taking him to Costa Rica along with Drew Barrymore and all that. And, you know, Mel has cleaned up a lot of guys in Hollywood. It's one of the reasons why Robert Downey Jr. and him are good friends and all that. But so anyway, long story short, Val got this the squamous cell cancer as well on his throat, same place as I have, and he's a Christian Scientist, and so he and all you folks call in and all you people, you know, Carrie Cassidy especially waves her finger at me and says, you know, how can anybody that knows about cancer and knows as much about cancer as you, because my family, you know, was in the cancer business. We literally were running an underground railroad, really, to take people who all of the other cures had failed. And I would shuffle them across the border, bring them back from Tijuana since I was under 18. If they did something to me, you know, I don't think I'd get tossed in a Mexican prison. And it's also, here's another weird thing, is that my great uncle was a man named Eddie Peters, and he was rich. He was the chief executive of Coca-Cola bottling for like all of South America. And he did get in some trouble once in Tijuana. Totally not my fault, but and he got me out. And so I've got had some cover down there because of Uncle Eddie and because of, you know, he like owned Mexico. So but we would take people who were terminal, and they would come to our house in Atherton, up in Northern California, where we lived on a hill. And I've told you my neighbors were, on the one side was Meg Whitman, who was president of Hewlett Packard. You know, just down from me was, that's Microsoft scumbag. It's like the richest man in the world. And then the Morgan kids, Jack and Diane, literally were their names. And then Paula Rothschild actually was next door, and, you know, I was dating her for a while. So I was doing her what the Rothschild's been doing to all of us for hundreds of years. So I get that right now.
Just to clarify, I'm not upset that you name dropped. It's not just yet. I'm just playing a massive guess who game in my mind. It's like, you know him, you know them. I'm running out of people. That's what I'm just getting.
I'll get there. It's one of those 6 degrees of separation things. You know, I'm sort of Kevin Bacon.
Well, so, yeah, you grew up in Los Angeles and California. It's not a leap of the imagination. So, but continue on.
It's sort of weird. It's sort of like, you know, you go to a USC football practice and, you know, you bump into Will Ferrell, who went to USC, and, you know, hang out with him for a while and do whatever. But it's like, I think Pete Carroll said something about it. It's like they were blaming him, Pete Carroll, when he was going through this whole witch hunt because the NCAA needed to destroy USC to put in this playoff system that they're looking at. They needed to mess up the Rose Bowl. You know, everything that you're seeing now is, you know, all the conferences and the things going on here in America is all because they destroyed Pete Carroll and USC. Totally just made stuff up. I mean, there was one of the coaches that did like a 2-day deposition, and he got a hold of the deposition, and he sued them for $25 million and won because he said, I didn't say any of this. They just made this up because it was the head of the NCAA who was the former he ran the Miami football program, which was the most – everybody knew it was the most corrupt football program in the United States. But they needed to destroy USC because their dominance was so overwhelming. And we were talking like 7 out of 9 Pac-12 championships, you know, over and over and over. They were in the Rose Bowl. The Rose Bowl didn't want to give up their granddaddy of them all sort of status to basically go into a playoff system. So, you know, and they needed to destroy Pete Carroll and USC by just flat out lying about all this. I should tell that story someday, but I won't now. So the reason I talked to Val is because he had the squamous cell cancer, the same thing. And he said, look, man, I understand it's his religion, and I understand, you know, I have nothing but admiration for Christian Scientists. I should become a Christian Scientist because there's always room in the parking lot. And there's a reading room and all kinds of things. They get a lot of money. They were, of course, started by Mary Baker Eddy. And she had a book called Science of Mind, I think is what it was. But it's all about basically mind over matter, using your mind to command your body to get better. And, of course, Val finally came to the point where he's like, I had to knuckle under, and because the stuff he was doing was not working. And the reason he's all sliced up, if you've seen the Top Gun movie, have you seen the Top Gun movie, the Maverick movie yet?
Yes, I have. It's brilliant. Mind you, everything else sucks, but it is good. And Val's, the way that's in the story and the way they used him because of his condition, it's brilliant.
And that's really how he is now. I mean, it's like they had to do everything that I just told you, where they've actually cut out parts of his tongue, they reconstructed it, they did, you know, I mean, it's horrible, it's bad. And this doctor's looking at me going, well, if we'd caught it sooner. And I was like, sir, maybe you don't understand that I was in a federal prison. I filed motions to get out of the federal prison. They were going to get beat by the motions. And what they do is that if you're smarter than them, which I am, which is not hard to do, but I filed these motions and they were really pissed off that I'd actually done legal work for a bunch of the black guys and a bunch of whatever under the First Step Act. And by the way, the First Step Act was passed by Joe Biden. So you're looking at these black guys who are just sucking up CNN with a spoon. And you're like, you know, oh, like, yeah, Biden, all that. You know, that guy put you here. That guy is the guy who said if you have a small rock of crack cocaine, which was like only 3% of the amount of cocaine that Hunter Biden is filmed weighing in front of a bunch of Russian prostitutes. So, you know, and of course what's going to happen is that if the Republicans go after Hunter Biden when they take over the Senate and the and I'll talk a little bit more about that. If they take over the Senate and the House, he's going to write a blanket pardon for his son and say he's absolved of all crimes, past, present, future, whatever. And, you know, you're trying to convince these black guys, this guy's not your friend. And he's called you savages. He's called you all kinds of things. And, you know, running wild in the street, and his job was to basically put you in jail because the crack sentences were 15 to 20 years. And the one thing that the First Step Act did here in the States was it reduced all of those sentences to 3 to 5. And so in the first wave of the First Step Act, which you might say is a myth because the DOJ just stopped all of it. The BOP just said, well, we're not going to do what the law says because we can't count. We can't apply all these. We don't have the budget to apply. You're letting people go. And, you know, we don't have the budget to let people go. And we don't. Blah, 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 blah. So so the challenge of all this was that I wrote paperwork for a lot of these guys as kind of a jailhouse lawyer that got them out. And that really pissed them off. And when I wrote my paperwork to get me out, they had no response because they hadn't actually read the law. And the law said you were supposed to get out and had a whole new set of that if you do this much or you do that much or you sign up for this program, what have you, there were a whole bunch of things that basically shortened your sentence. And in my case, under the new law, I should have been released 2 years before that. Well, they didn't like that. And they didn't like that. And so I had made some phone calls to J.P. Perrone. Our own, you hear his wonderfully dulcet voice on many of the ads here, who was in Scotland. And he set up a thing so I could – it's a Skype thing that you do. He dial a local number there in Tucson that I could call and I could speak to him. And what he would do is he and again, I had no control over what happened to our conversations, but he had a website which was called I named it basically after Solzhenitsyn. When Solzhenitsyn was tossed in the gulag, and then he came out to the United States and he wrote a book called the Gulag Archipelago. People in Russia were not in for crimes. They were in for a psychiatric condition. I don't know if you know this or not, but if you disagreed with the Communist Party, and this is what they've tried to do now. It's exactly what they're doing with CNN, with MSNBC. NBC, nothing but crap. ABC, all but crap. MSNBC, mostly saying nothing but crap. CNN, the Communist or the Clinton News Network. And by the way, one development of that that you saw today, I don't know if you heard about this or not, Monty, but they had a Batgirl movie that was going to come out. Did you hear about that today?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Well, this movie is there's – I forget who plays Batgirl, but it was Michael Keaton. It was a big all-star cast. This movie cost $70 to $100 million. And apparently Batgirl was a lesbian, of course. And they had all these kind of woke things in it. And there's the new guy that's just taken over Discovery Channel and has pretty much bought Warner. And he, at the last minute, I mean, this was going to be released at Christmas. And he was like, no, we're not going to release this movie. He says, I think it's crap. And it's got a bunch of woke stuff in it that I don't like. And so he just canned the movie. He says there's not going to be any it makes me want to see it now to see what exactly it was that they were so upset about. But he didn't like it. He didn't like the lesbian themes. He didn't like the woke themes. He didn't like the, all this other. I mean, he always had a joke that I'm so bad I got in a fight with Batman, with Batman, and the loser had to wear his underpants on the outside. So you see, see how that goes. So yeah, that was funny. Yeah, I fought Superman and Batman. And, loser had to wear his underpants on the outside. So, which, by the way, they've done away with. You'll notice that even in the comics, and it looks weird because Batman and Superman actually don't wear their underpants on the outside anymore. I don't know if anybody's noticed that, but it was one of those things that they stopped doing. So now it's just one big unitard, which is really kind of stupid because when you're wrestling and you have this kind of unitard thing on, you've got to wear these got to wear your panties on the outside, because it's just kind of a combat thing. So he canceled the movie today and said, I'm not putting this out. I don't want to do it. It's sending the wrong message. And by the way, this is the guy that's now bought CNN. And so you can say goodbye to Don Lemon and Brian, fat boy, the human Twinkie, Brian Seltzer and Jim Acosta. Because without Trump, they have no purpose. They have no relevance whatsoever. They're just, you wouldn't recognize Jim Acosta now walking down any street because they don't have Trump to pick on anymore. Now this is probably going to change, of course, when or if Trump runs again. And by the way, there was another big thing in the States today where you actually had the governor of Florida, Ron DeSantis, finally start taking on one of these George Soros DAs. And he fired this Warner, I think it was. But he fired him because the guy basically is getting up saying, I'm not going to enforce the law. I'm not going to enforce anti-abortion laws. I'm not going to enforce, they were banning like trans sex operations for minors, like without telling your parents, like one day your kid shows up from school with no penis, and you're like, what happened here? Did it get caught in a thresher or something, or what's going on? So let me get back to where I was. So talk to Val Kilmer, and Val in his... he's really bad, and he said I waited too long, and I'm like, yeah. And he said just his religious beliefs, the Christian Science and all that, he was doing all the prayer, and he's out in New Mexico actually, and he was doing all the Indian stuff, and he was doing everything that you can think of, and of course I've tried everything you can think of now, and he just said you just got to do it, man. He just get it done. Now what we came to is that, I don't know if I'm going to have to take time off the station, and Monty can have a slot for a while and do that voodoo that you do so well. But, we are talking about radiation, and they would have to do a full blast of radiation. Now, what I understood was this guy used, or what he does, is there is a radiation that they call cyber knife, or gamma knife, as it's also called. Now, my mother went in for this. My mother, some 15 years ago, died of pancreatic cancer, which was really obscene because of the fact that she was taken out of the clinic in Mexico where she was getting better. She was at a clinic up in Reno as well where she was getting better. And for whatever reason, under the influence of, and this is what was messed up in my mother's case, the executors of her estate, one is this guy named, Jerry Roberts. And Roberts is, in my opinion, because I have to say that, is an utter scumbag. And he managed a lot of the money of the Microsoft guys and the Google guy. And still trying to think of my next door neighbor. He still owes me money for mowing his lawn. I mean, this son of a bitch is worth billions, and he owes me $20 because he never paid. What's his name? What's the guy? Miss, honey? Hello? Nah, she's got her earplugs in. She's just snuggled up with the cat who sleeps on her head. It's really funny. We have, Shaloo goes over there to protect her from ghosts or something. He has his own pillow so that he can put his paws on Melissa's head. And that's where he sleeps. He sleeps on top of Melissa's head. So, because he's protecting her from ghosts and all that. So, what the hell's his name? He's like the richest guy in the world and lived right next door to us. And I can't remember. This is the cancer talking here. So, now they're talking about a full blast of radiation. And he said we couldn't use the cyber knife because it's not small now. And he said you can blast particular things. And with my mom's case, Stanford, where this thing was invented, it obviously is a super thin beam of radiation that is supposed to basically – it's basically used for brain tumors. I told you the tumor that my old girlfriend, Elizabeth Tark, Dr. Elizabeth Tark, daughter of Russell Tark, who was one of the guys who invented the remote viewing protocols for the military – and, by the way, invented the satellite system that surrounds the Earth that allows cell phone communication and whatever else. But because Elizabeth's uncle, this is weird, for Thanksgiving, but Elizabeth's uncle was Bobby Fischer, who was the chess champion. So he taught me a couple of things to play chess, which did me well in prison because, as you know, I had the black guy going, "God damn, I'm not playing chess with you." He said, you got some kind of mystical chess champion or something. Because when you play black guy chess, you play against a black guy, it's not playing the chess. It's the fact that you have to come up with a bunch of shade. You got to come up with like, "Oh yeah, you want to do that? Well, my horse is going to come and he's going to ram his dick up your ass." You just have to come up with that. There's a nonstop banter you can always tell when the black guys are playing chess in the corner. And of course here's me, this crazy little creamy white kid doing legal work for people, and I was doing legal work for the black guys, and then I would do readings. I would do tarot readings because I smuggle in some cards. For the Mexican guys. And I think I got a couple of Mexican women killed because is Rosalita cheating on me? I'm like, "Yeah, I'm sorry, I knew it. Who is it?" I'm like, "It looks like somebody related to you." "He's my cousin Fernando. Ah, I'm going to kill him." And one guy came up and said, "Is he any good?" He goes, "He tells the truth, man. He tells the truth. He says everything he told me has come through." So I was kind of worshipped as a brujo, and then the black guys are like, "Well, he's a legal guy." And the in a however many page document by the DOJ, they didn't mention the First Step Act once. And I was saying, "You're in violation of all this stuff in the new law." And because they didn't mention it, they knew I was going to beat them. So so what they did is they play a game on you, which is basically they call it bus therapy or transit therapy. And what they do is they just grab you and they make sure that they mess up your life and your existence, and they ship you to another prison. Doesn't matter which one. They just move you from place to place, and they call it bus therapy or road therapy. So they moved me to this horrible place in Texas, which was a place a camp where you just got to wander around. Guys would literally go out to the road and go have sex with their wives on at lunchtime. they'd jump the fence because there wasn't really a fence around this place. It was just a gate, and the wives would pull up in a van and they'd wham a line would take down. One guy actually snuck a woman into the compound. And okay, we'll be back with music and more stuff. It gets better, I guarantee you. Wait till you hear my story about my crazy landlady.
Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back.
right back after this message.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Did you ever feel that things were not quite right? That everything was just ever so slightly askew?
Do you have, to paraphrase Morpheus, a splinter in your mind?
If you're interested in hearing the latest information about UFOs, the paranormal,
ancient cultures and structures,
monatomic elements,
longevity,
fantastic discoveries in science,
download it to your brain,
then tune in to us. Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Mackie.
And we are Shiny Side Out, Sundays 2 to 4 a.m. Eastern. See you then.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here.
Are you interested in the paranormal? Murder mystery? Real natural law? Do you enjoy interviews with amazing guests? Then join Crip Rick every Monday night, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Revolution Radio. Studio A, freedomslips.com. Crip Rick's iPhone, thank you. Welcome to the Crypt.
You're going back in?
There's still men out there. God damn. When I go home, people ask me, "Hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie?" I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. And that's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. Freedomslips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We'll be right back.
All right, so I get like the only pizza delivery man. Or no, that's also in French. Okay, never mind. Oh, ooh la la, pizza. Oh, come pizza man. All right. I know this nonsense. As I said, Moon's in Scorpio, so. Really? A French pizza man? I didn't think they had pizza in France. I thought it was. All right, shut up. Okay. All right, I know I was in the middle of another story, but hold on, let me make this announcement first. Once again, Moon and Scorpio, so don't listen to this show. Go make love to somebody. Or you can make love to somebody while listening to my show, which will guarantee your orgasm. All right, shut up, George Michael. Poor guy, you know, winds up giving BJs in a public restroom in Beverly Hills. It's pretty strange. All right, welcome to something that's going on all around the world now, thanks to this program. Welcome to the 8-8-2022 Lions Gate activation. So Saeed David Farman, who I should probably have on the next couple of days, he is the founder of New Humanity and the CEO of Biomed Expo, with a few 5D event speakers activating the opening of the Lions Gate. So you can find out about that at newhumanitymovement.com. The Lions Gate is a time of increased cosmic energy flowing between the physical and spiritual realms. The astrological and spiritual gateway has roots that go back to ancient Egypt, and for thousands of years has been observed and honored as a time of a great energetic influx and activation. The 8-8 Lionsgate portal is marked by the numerology of 8-8, which, of course, when the 8-8-2008 Olympics in China were. So the sun's presence in the astrological sign of Leo, the lion, and the rising of the star Sirius on the horizon, because it's also the dog days of summer when Sirius is up above the horizon. So the 8-8 Lion's Gateway, 2022, as the star Sirius rises in the sky, Orion's belt directly aligns with the Pyramid of Giza. And from our perspective on Earth, it appears that Sirius, the brightest star we can see, does come closer to the Earth. So for a little cosmic perspective, the star Sirius is twice the size of our sun and 26 times brighter. It's also a binary star, I believe, as well. I'm Sirius A. Yeah, Sirius A and Sirius B. It appears as one star from here. And by the way, the Dogon tribe knew this thousands and thousands of years ago. We only discovered that Sirius was a binary star in 1946, I think. Therefore, the Lion's Gate is such a profound and powerful source of spiritual light available to you during this time. Specifically, the energies of Sirius and this gateway are focused on soul embodiment, abundance, harvest, and fertility. So why is it called the Lion's Gate? Because the gateway occurs when the sun is in the astrological sign of Leo, the lion, and as a zodiac sign, Leo is associated with the heart center and represents the individualized expression of the divine. It's the star of the tribe of Judah, and is believed to be the star of Jesus. So it's as the king of Judah. So the Leo energy is the perfect stage to anchor the ascension codes and energies of higher consciousness broadcast through the star Sirius and through the great central sun. When this alignment happens, there is an intense surge of light, which awakens DNA, activates the human energy field, and transmits high vibrational frequencies and codes of awakening. So there's a webinar size of 500 attendees. There's a link to join the webinar, which is /zoom.us/j/945083186666. All right, I'll say it again. /zoom.us/j/945083186668. Best and warmest cigars, Saeed David Farman, everybody's buddy. There he is. There's the handsome guy. And so you can join us on the Zoom live. So, founder of the New Humanity Movement and quite the hustler. And he's got a conference actually coming up in October, actually the first weekend in October. So whether or not I'm going to be well enough to go, I'm not sure, because I have another conference coming up in Florida with Mark Becker and his New Living Expo. And the Mark Becker one actually pays money, which I need. So so there you go. All right, so David Farman, and join him on that. NewHumanityMovement.com. So there's David Farman's plug. And God bless you, David Saeed Farman. Not sure what he's going by now. So there's that. Okay, so back to what was the other story I was going to tell you? It had to do with that one, but yeah. I'm trying to ascend, but it's hard to be serious when some of you are just Pleiadian. A joke written by, Monty Crazy Legs. There you go. You
get stolen, not written. Stolen.
Oh, okay. All right. Stolen. Well, at least you're fessing up to it. Oh, take my wife, please. So, all right. So there's that. So let me tell you about. Let me finish up. I'm trying to pull all the strings together here. So I actually talked to Val, and Val says, "Look, I did the other stuff. It's part of my religious beliefs." I mean, he was doing everything. He was doing, native healers out in New Mexico. He was doing all the laying hands of the Christian Science stuff. And of course, this squamous cell cancer—it's viral. It's everybody has it. Like 95% of the population has this these squamous cell viruses, if you will. And sometimes they just pop up and get worse. And when it got, I was in a Tucson facility, and one of them clocked me right under the jaw, which is kind of when it started. Then, of course, I was stripped naked. I was thrown in an icebox cell, as they call it. Then I was thrown into a solitary confinement cell, which is about 8 by 10. And that's where I was. No vitamins, no actual nutrition, no outside exercise. You're just trapped in a box. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and that was 2 months. And, you know, I blazed through it because I'm a meditation master, if you will. And, you know, whenever they come check with me, they thought I was dead because I was just meditating. I was hanging on the moon. I was at the center of the galaxy. I've explored most of the planets. I can tell you all kinds of interesting things. And again, went to went over to Stargate Ranch to see what was going on there. And I'm telling you, man, they are messing with something they do not want to mess with. And I should probably have Dr. Travis and see what he has to say about it. They don't know what they're messing with there. There's a saucer there, and there's a bunch of beings there and suspended animation, even though they are conscious, which is why they keep yelling, help, help, help. And every time something weird happens, they send something in the sky or drill down. There's a reason there are guardians over that space that come in to stop it, to make sure that nobody's getting loose. And, you know, if you want something really interesting, it had an effect of basically being the kind of be-all and the end-all of a war that happened 65 million years ago that we say basically killed the dinosaurs. And the dinosaurs left on the surface all went underground. And their biology and evolution was then manipulated by the Alphatraconians into a humanoid form, very much like the beings that were left on the surface, the monkeys, which was us, were then biologically mutated by, you know, Pleiadians. I'm sure orangutans used to be Irish, and baboons used to be Italian or something. Something like that. So there's a whole other thing going on with Skinwalker Ranch where they finally are trying to figure out who they're messing with. And they still, and I knew this like 7 years ago. I went out there and did a meditation by the fence and was showing Melissa these gates, these kite-like gates, and they have actual physical images of them now. Okay, what was the other thing I was going to tell you? All right, so Val just said, you need to just get it done, man. And he said, you need to do the... He says, your friends may make fun of you, you know, because he was Mr. Spiritual Guy. And he says, I just had to get it done. And unfortunately, the doctor said, well, you should have had this looked at earlier. So I did finally get out. As I told you, I was released under the First Step Act. And I was living with these horrible Mexican people. There's diabolical people. You know, the kid was opening up a doorway to really bad realities. And his mother / girlfriend, not kidding, that's just how weird it was. And I was sleeping on their couch, and it was just hideous. It was absolutely hideous. They were messing with my nutrition and messing with they're just doing bad things. I mean, really bad things. I mean, I got in a huge fight with this woman just because I was listening to kind of new age, like new age Indian music, and she didn't like it. And she's like, turn it off. And I was like, why? She's like, you have no power here. You know, I've got all the power. And it's like, well, I don't feel like turning it off. And he says, well, I will fuck you up. You know, so that was bad. Finally, got kicked out of there, went to the hospital, was in the hospital. And then, as I told you, this woman who I thought was doing this out of the goodness of her heart said, well, I got a place you can stay. And, you can stay here till like October 15th or whatever, which all turned out to be a lie, by the way. So I was... I'm at the location I'm in, but I was only here for a month, maybe, until I got jumped by the government again, and they figured that they were going to use my cancer as an excuse to put me back in prison, which they did. They jumped me. They wouldn't let me appear in front of a judge because they said, you haven't done anything wrong. We haven't charged you with anything. We're just revoking your release because your health care is costing us too much money because I was being seen at the at Cedar Sinai. And of course, Cedar Sinai had to keep me in there because they screwed up a chemo transmission where the tube busted and the arteries in my arm broke. And so I had this huge puddle of radioactive waste in my left arm, and which had to be dealt with. And, you know, so they stuck me down in the basement literally in the basement with a bunch of boxes and equipment with all the other people they didn't want to deal with. I had one nurse, this is absolutely true, when I said, you know, I should probably use a poultice of some kind to, you know, to pull the poison out of my arm. And she literally said that she was this adorable Filipino girl, rather tall, you know, very, very well endowed. And she goes, really? Well, why would you want to put chicken on a burn? Absolutely true. Because it was a poultice. I'm like, yeah, give me a bucket of Popeyes and or KFC. We'll go over to the children's burn ward and we'll fix all that stuff up right there. It was also interesting, too, because I had a bunch of doctors who did not know what black salve was, did not know what DMSO was. DMSO was originally used as a horse liniment, and you can put it on your skin, and it basically it soaks into the skin. So it's very much like putting, you know, like applying aspirin directly to a wound. So anyway, on it went, and when I got kicked out of they transported me back to this place in Butner, North Carolina, at a cost of about $75,000. In a private jet. So just so you know, in order to put me in prison the way they did, which was just because I, you know, I was the best of the people that they were reaching out to, and they figured they could get the most publicity by going after me for crimes that weren't crimes, where there were no victims and there's no monetary loss to anybody, according to them. And then at the end of this thing, they were trying to say that, well, he has to be kept in prison, whether or not he's dying or not, because this is from the Justice Department. He says he's a combination between John Gotti, the organized crime boss, and Marshall Applewhite, the leader of the Heaven's Gate cult, that they claim all committed suicide. They did not, by the way. And I met them. I knew these people, and I'd met them a month before, had no intention of committing suicide. But I said, how is it you're living in the place that you're living, this multi-million-dollar estate in La Jolla down in near San Diego? And they said, oh, we got jobs doing code cracking for the National Security Agency. So that might explain a few things as to why these people get all dressed up, buy new shoes, fill their pockets full of quarters. And then, whether you know this or not, they supposedly put plastic bags over their heads and strangled themselves after taking a bunch of sedatives that was laced into ice cream and yogurt. So you're not getting the real story about any of this stuff. I went down there with a very famous psychic named Peter James, who's passed away. And Peter was like, these people don't know they're dead. I was like, what? He said, they don't know they're dead. These people were murdered, and they were taken out, you know, almost instantaneously. And what he saw psychically was a tactical SWAT team that came in and rounded these people up and choked them to death, basically hung them. Put paper bags over them and choked them and then laid them out so it all looked like they committed suicide by strangling themselves. It's like Arkansas suicide where you hit yourself 57 times with a baseball bat and then you die. Sorry, I don't know why I'm getting into all this stuff. So that was the one that said, you need to just take it, man. You need to just do it, get it done, because I waited too long and look what happened to me. And, of course, they're telling me that I waited too long because I don't know if you know this or not, but, I mean, I was released a year ago. Almost today. It was a year ago, I think August 17th, they finally released me. They literally came into, I'd lost the ability to walk. They juiced me up with chemo, which has paralyzed my legs, paralyzed my waist, paralyzed my right arm, and I still have pain in my shoulder from that. But it's taken a year for me to just recover from their version of chemo and radiation. And the guard just came in, they yanked it. Oh, I'm sorry. And then I went to the hospital. In Butner, North Carolina, and it was the Duke Hospital. And then they gave me MRSA. I had this deadly blood disease, and they had to all wear bunny suits and hazmat suits and whatever. Meanwhile, I'm chained hand and foot to a bed. I've got these disgusting guards who just sit around and talk about what they're going to kill over the weekend and, you know, whether or not their F-250 needs an oil change. And there was this one black woman that I just hated who would just yank the remote control out. And she said, I'm going to sit here and watch no Fox News. I'm going to watch my stories. I'm going to watch CNN. Ain't bullshit. I have Fox News. And I was like, I mean, the only control I had was to be able to kind of watch TV all that day if I wanted to. And so I hit the button for the nurse. And I said, I need to see the doctor. And the doctor comes in, right? And, of course, they're the boss there. And I said, I don't seem to be able to find the remote control, laughing to myself. And the doctor looks around, he looks at this guard lady, he goes, give me the remote control. Don't take it away from him again. I was like, thank you, doctor. Thank you. And I'm like, so she was angry. She was one of those black women that has those weird, like, freckles all over her face. But I had to have two guards in the room with me. One of the guards was my counselor, who didn't counsel anybody, didn't do anything. And she's sitting over in the corner. And I'm like, what about my case? What about my really bad? And she's like, shut up. I'm talking to you. And I'm just letting get my overtime. And they just sleep in the chairs. I mean, like, you know, while I was chained hand and foot to the bed in the hospital, like I'm going to run away. And they, you know, they let me kind of hobble around with a walker around the outside. It's 12 different ways to horrible. So anyway, so when they kicked me out, they busted into the room. They pulled all the IVs out of my arm. They said, "Damn, pan us to keep, take care of you no more. So get in the chair." And the order came in at 3. I was on a plane by 6. I was vomiting up all over the plane because they'd given me these antibiotics, and I was having to wear a mask while I was vomiting. So I tried to get up to go to the bathroom, and I couldn't do it, so I just vomited all over the guard, who was, you know, on the end seat. And he's like, you know, I have to watch you, or I have to. I said, "You're welcome to come watch me throw up." And I threw up all over him. And then he couldn't get up and go wash himself off. And I'm like, "Well, why don't you just go?" Because I go watch you. He said, "Dude, I'm free. You understand? I'm free. They've let me go. I have a piece of paper right here. But, you know, I know you just want to ride to Los Angeles so you go to Disneyland and go to the beach. So why don't you just get off it?" And it was good because I could lip off to these guys because it was, you know, again, I was free. So, but they kicked me off their insurance. So I have not had any medical care. None for the last year other than doing everything from, you know, all the alternative stuff that I could do. You know, I want to thank Dr. Corey Stern. Actually, she set me up with this mistletoe, actually, is what it is. It's a mistletoe. I've been doing the black salve again. I've been doing all these alternatives. I've been drinking the colloidal silver. And I can't say it hasn't worked because, I as I said, I use the black salve to burn a 13-centimeter tumor off my neck, and I'm probably going to have to go get plastic surgery afterwards because it's just, you know, I actually got to look at myself on a Zoom call the other day, and it's, you know, just hideous now. Also want to thank Michael Sala. Thank you, Mr. Sala. Michael Sala has a wonderful website that I have to promote here called Exopolitics. I mean, he's one of the Lord God kings of all this stuff. So, and I want to thank Carrie Cassidy. She's in her Erie and her bizarre intellectual sex dungeon up in the somewhere up in the mountains in an undisclosed location, you know, along with Dr. Evil and, I don't know, Batman or Hawkman or whatever. So I want to thank Carrie. We did a great interview on Project Camelot, and her first interview since she's been back in the country and since she's moved location. She knows, like I know, that it's about to get bad. It's about to get weird. Of course, we're down here behind the Orange Curtain, down in sort of South Orange County now, and so that's interesting. It's a long hike for Melissa to get to where she needs to go for her work. So meanwhile, I had a box of about $2,500 worth of medical supplies that were coming to me that were, you know, ivermectin and Briomixol and what else? It was everything that you can think of. We got Briomixol, ivermectin. We had he comes out of Argentina, but all these things, and it got delivered to the front of the house to Madam Mim in the front, and the FedEx guy, for some reason, the person that he claimed signed for it signed my wife's name, which is really strange. So I had to call the police. I had to call the police and have them show up at the fact that my medical supplies, which were insured, but FedEx refuses to cover on the insurance, saying they were delivered to the front of the house, they were signed for by some crazy blonde lady, and they just disappeared. So I had to call the cop. The cops came in, and it was like it was her word against the FedEx guys, I guess. So, and it gets worse. So,
I'm
Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Join me and the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things, in my view, affecting all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens and their agenda for the advancement of humanity. Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is Advanced Ancient Global Civilizations. Join me on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
Join me at Revolution Radio, Studio B, at 11 a.m. on Saturday for Free Association, when we take a look at philosophy, spirituality, psychology, social issues, and geopolitics. It's every Saturday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Studio B at freedomslips.com.
I am Bill Johnson. Some consider my efforts to be an underground law school. I am not an attorney, and I do not give legal advice. I teach. That's lawful and legal. Consider yourself served. You are to appear Wednesday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, Studio A. My forte? Foreclosure and contract law. Grab your legal pad and pen. Learn a broad spectrum of law, spanning administrative, criminal, family, tort, and federal law. Fools and losers cling to old cases. I dissect and comment on the latest rulings that control the courts. Don't be a loser. And if you don't appear, you will be held in contempt.
The original machine had a base plate of prefamulated amulite, surmounted by a malleable logarithmic casing, in such a way that the two spurving bearings were in a direct line with a panometric fan. The lineup consisted simply of six hydrocoptic marsal vanes, so fitted to the ambifacient lunar wane shaft that side fumbling was effectively prevented. The main winding was of the normal lotus-o-deltoid type placed in panendermic semi-boloid slots of the stator, every seventh conductor being connected by a non-reversible tremie pipe to the differential girdle spring on the up end of the gram meters.
Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio, taking the confusion out of transmutated lunar girdle springs for 4 years and running. Revolution Radio, the number one listener-supported alternative media radio on the planet. I want to thank everybody for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, the one place where information never sleeps. Revolution, Revolution Radio!
All right, let's show them what we got now.
Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
I got that. So crazy.
very soul clean. Then she put that question boomerang me in the mind. This just fine. I done came to the club by 11 times. Now can I play with your family line? The club was gonna see I need to calm down. Security guards gonna sweat me now. Took a drunk down the bar, threaten me now. She keep me talking to me about me, she work. Ain't gonna let me see them big bells work. Taking the clothes off my fucking neck. And she said, hold on, disrespect me. I'm gonna pop your like it, cause you ain't crazy. Good job, me, side boys with, and we all might be seen. Now bring your over here, ho, and let me see you get low. If you want this dog, now take it to the floor. Save your ass on the hat, then you can keep that. Where you at?
369, damn, she's fine. Hey. But she can sock it to me one more time. Go, get low, get low, get low.
To the wall.
To the wall.
Swing down, down my balls. Can't believe this is the censored version. It's 11:30 at night.
Come on, if it's a certain time at night, even in the club, you can play dirty stuff. So it's like, There's Monty rocking out, I know.
My cat's actually very upset right now.
Why's your cat upset? What did I do to upset your cat?
I don't know.
What's the matter with him?
She is always loud. I call her Meow Meow. She has a quiet purr and a very loud meow, and she meows every waking moment.
Okay. Wow, that's like being married.
Yeah, I'm sure there's some karma resolution going on here. Isn't that right, Scoff Jobs? Yeah.
Is she a kitten?
No, no, she's turns 10 in January.
Right. Well, she sounds very charming. But, oh, my. What's her name?
Scoff Chops. I didn't name her that, but...
Scott Chops? Was somebody trying to get
Scoff.
Even with you?
Scoff. Scoff Chops.
Scoff Chops. All right. So. Yeah, that's a great cat name. You know, like fluffy ears.
Mittens. Yeah, yeah. Scoffy, yeah. Scoff Chops.
That sounds like a name like those two other Australian guys are on this thing. Hello, I'm Squeamish and I'm Squamish or something. Those two guys that have the commercial running. Oh, is she still there?
Yes.
All right, wait, let's do a song. Okay, ready? If you're happy and you know it, say meow. If you're happy and you know it, say meow.
No, she's running away now. She doesn't like the spotlight. She's just, you know, a cat of an entertainer. She's not an entertainer.
We've tortured your cat into something. So,
yeah, she's gone away now, so I'm happy.
All right. Oh, here's one more gang of people that I used to know, which is pretty weird. I actually used to hang out. Are you ready for this? White, creamy Irish boy like me, playing chess and hanging out with the Wu-Tang Clan. I used to hang out with these guys.
No, I'm not surprised at all, because the American Dream or something. There's a TV show based on their history. And they're not your fly by night rappers. They're highly intelligent people who know what they're doing.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. It was like I said, I used to drive RZA crazy that I could actually beat him at chess. And that's all they liked to do was hang around and play chess. And I knew this lady, Kathy Jones, and Kathy Jones used to manage them. So, but I gave them all kinds of ideas for stuff, because we'd talk philosophy and UFOs and all that. So, you know, Wu-Tang Clan were good buddies of mine. So I still go to shows, and they say, you know, Little John's like, so it's pretty funny.
Do you come with a translator, or?
Yeah, he's actually, he's not doing that. He's actually pretty, pretty eloquent. You don't expect him to break out into King Lear or anything, but, you know, it's close. So, the storm awaits us, and whatever. So, okay, I'm talking nonsense because I'm trying to make myself feel better about what's in store for me pretty soon. And it just gets worse because I get some checks from the government now to, you know, help me out. And guess what? My landlady's decided to steal my mail. So not only has she stolen, apparently, allegedly, helped herself to about $2,500 in medical stuff that was sent to me that I can't get the insurance for because the FedEx guy said, nope, gave it to this crazy blonde lady in the front house. And then now I have she gets mad because mail comes to the box in the quad, and she won't give us a key because she's like, well, that's giving you too much control. I'm like, control over what? Picking up my mail? Like, I'm going to steal your mail or something? So now I've got to go to the postal inspector locally and probably get, like, a postal cop, which you do not want ever on you because they are crazy and they have almost infinite power. And so in order to get my government checks, which he's now basically just stealing and saying, you can come to the front door and get him yourself because, you know, what do you think, I'm going to bite? I'm like, I don't want to come to the front door and get him myself because it will become a scene because now it's gotten to the point where I know she's a liar, and I know that she's, I mean, like I said, when I moved in here, and then it got taken away by the cops, and then I came back, you know, she had said I could live here for a certain period of time, and then she totally reneged on all that, and said I owed her back rent, and then said, no, I want this much money, and now you're going to pay rent and all that, and I was like, no. So it's just, you know, over and over and over again, she's lied, she's obfuscated, apparently she's hated by everybody in this entire community, who I've talked to them about her, who's like, oh yeah, that nut job that you live in, how did she con you into moving into her place, and we all know she's crazy. And I was like, oh, you're telling me this now, thank you very much. And she's jealous, I guess, of the fact that, like, well, he gets more mail than me. Well, they're letters from hospitals and permissions from doctors, and so now I've got like a government check waiting for me up there, and she won't give it to my wife, and she won't, and she wants me to come get it myself, where I've got to walk down the stairs and do whatever else. I don't want to go there because I'm afraid I'm gonna blow up at this hag, and you know, mess it all up. So it's getting kind of weird. So she forced us to get a post office box at the post office that's miles away, and this post office here in Ladera Ranch is like all run by Vietnamese. So, you know, I go to pick up my mail, but I come out with, and my nails look wonderful when I get out of there. So because they're Vietnamese, and the Vietnamese people all do Manny Petties. So that's more fun when you have somebody who's literally stealing your mail and won't give it to you because she's jealous that you get more letters than her. And now her biggest thing is she went to some conference in Mount Shasta and came back saying, oh, I've got COVID now. So how am I supposed to get my mail from her, pick it up when she's got COVID? And what's she going to do, try to breathe on me now? So her saying, I don't bite, is like, no, you spread disease. You might as well be Typhoid Mary. And now you're demanding that I come get my mail from somebody who's been saying she's had COVID for the last 2 months. So what am I supposed to do? I don't know. If anybody has any suggestions out there, hey, write me at strangeuniverseradio@gmail.com. I'd love to answer your email. I love it when people I think I'm up to 16 fans now. So if anybody of the 16 fans, I want to say hi to Shea. She's my friend Nicoletta Germata's daughter. Lovely girl. And so I'm making a deal to marry her someday. we're on the barter system here. And but she's doing some artwork for me. I'm, you know, and at the same time, by the way, I've got the manuscript done for the next book for Time Runner. And I've got to deal with radiation. Apparently I'm supposed to have like 30 days nonstop Monday through Friday of radiation, and it's just not fun. They just want to. It was told that you have to blast it and carpet bomb this area. And I don't want to do chemo again because the chemo has affected me so badly. But I have the cancer chemo doctor, this lovely Persian woman named Dr. Jacqueline. I can't pronounce her last name. It's literally like a bunch of – comes from a country where there's no consonants. And it's just – so I spoke to her today again, and she's like, well, I can give you a little chemo. And I was like, I'd rather not do the chemo. If I can get the radiation to bombard this and then still take – I'm still taking colloidal silver. I'm taking the Escazole, which is the blue scorpion venom. If I could ever get the other stuff, which is the – it's called Briomixol, by the way. And Briomixol is a it comes from a South American cactus out of Argentina. And they came up with this stuff because in Argentina, the beef is so pure, you're not allowed to give the cattle in Argentina anything. You can't give them antibiotics. You can't give them, you know, everything has to be natural. So they drive the cattle from the mountains down to the coast to, you know, go to market. And so they had to come up with something natural. And they came up with this stuff, Bryomexol, which was basically a way to get rid of everything from bovine AIDS to any sort of cancers. And actually, when you take this, the cattle put on weight. It's not a chemical. It's not whatever. So they started using it on people about 15 years ago. And by the way, since I was telling people about the blue scorpion venom, it's now being studied by Johns Hopkins University. And you can get this. It's called Escazole is the name of it. You take like 5 drops in water twice, sometimes 3 times a day. But I'm not so sure that the blue scorpion venom is not isn't giving me these horrible headaches. So, I mean, I have to take, I mean, just to do this show, I mean, like I said, I'm hopped up on like a cough syrup tea and throat lozenges and some water and whatever else just to have, I'm only good for a 2-hour conversation a day. And if anybody wants to engage me in more conversation than that, like my wife, it's just kind of a chatterbox. And I'm like, am I supposed to respond to everything you're saying or are you just over there talking to yourself? She's like, I'm just talking to myself. And I'm like, well, at least it's somebody who'll listen. Oh, no, sorry. So, as my grandma used to say to me, as in, how many people are in your head? So so that's my challenge. My challenge is I've got a crazy landlady who ripped me off from the beginning, who lied to me when I first got in here, who is now apparently obfuscating or absconding with my mail, stealing boxes from me. This is allegedly now, so she can't sue me. And we're trying to get out of here. I mean, Melissa's probably going to get a better job or a better position at the SoFi Stadium. Problem with SoFi Stadium is that, you know, it's in Inglewood, which is up to no good. I mean, you've got this billion-dollar stadium, $6 billion, with Hollywood Park, with the Intuit Dome right next to it, which is the new place that Steve Ballmer is. Eric Schmidt, by the way. Eric Schmidt is the name of the guy who used to live next door to us, who was the who's worth I don't know how many billions of dollars, but he still owes me $20. At some point, I'm going to bump into Eric Schmidt and say, "Where's my $20, you cheap bastard?" And for mowing his lawn, because he was our next door neighbor, and he's the guy that owns Google, and he just bought some $60 million estate up in Santa Barbara, so he can, you know, he can feed Oprah Winfrey pie or something. So, but that's who it was, Eric Schmidt. He's the Google guy, also being managed by Jerry Roberts, who was the guy that was the manager of my mother's estate and allegedly, I think, was behind my mother's murder, where they basically, she could have gotten better, and they basically put her to sleep by feeding her giant bags of pot and morphine. And I had another doctor who came in and looked at my mother, and these guys managed to screw me out of a $12 million estate because my mother was hopped up on every drug known to man. And 2 weeks before she died, she suddenly just cut Melissa and I out of the will. So, you know, and there you go. And just swapped in my scumbag Marine Corps National Intelligence Agency uncle who just came from out of nowhere so he could sit next to my mother and make sure that I didn't talk to her and didn't spend time with her. And I'm sorry. I'm just bitching about the tragedy that is my life, you know. So now I'm in a, you know, one-room apartment with my wife, you know, doing stuff on the radio. Another thing is, too, is that if anybody wants to look up, you ever look at the website forwardsnews.com? You ever see that website, Monty? Oh, okay. He's asleep now.
No, my cat is yelling at me again. Say that again.
I said, have you ever seen the website Forwards News?
I know of it, yes.
Okay. Well, if you go on it today, the interviews that I did with Michael Sala and his exopolitics.com, and I did an interview with Kerry Cassidy. But our exopolitics exopolitics has had like a couple of million hits, and is ranked as the number one interview with Michael Sala because Michael had done stuff. It's interesting because there were things and processes that Michael put into play, and then I came in at the end and kind of ended was the conclusion, the Deus Ex Machina, if you will, of the story. So, for example, we had an adventure with a guy who called himself Ghost Walker, and I think his real name was either Derek Hennessy or Connor or something. We got to look at his license once, and I think it was Derek Hennessy was his real name. But this guy claimed to have been a guard out at 5-1, and but he also claimed responsibility for like 64 kills as what he called himself. He said, I'm the one bullet retirement program for agents in the government. So the interesting thing was is that he killed by accident. He had rigged a guy's car to explode, and the guy that day, instead of going to work, decided to take the day off and take his wife and his two kids. And as he's running across the street trying to stop the guy started the car and the thing blew up, and he decided that was it for him. And then at some point, the government told him that he had Hodgkin's disease, and he didn't believe it. So he claims to have defected and that he had access to about a 500-page document that was everything. That was where all the bodies were buried. It was Weekly World News stuff of Dick Cheney shaking hands with aliens. It was crazy stuff. So I, at the time, was working for Geraldo Rivera. And my partner over there, Bob Keviat, he was in New York. And actually, he then moved out here to California to work for Unsolved Mysteries. And so I was at the beginning of the alien autopsy, where Bob sold it to the public as being real, and then he sold it as being fake, and then whatever. And tried to get these guys all hooked on the alien interview. The alien interview was coming up because it's the 25th anniversary of the alien interview. And no one has yet, over all these 25 years, has ever come forward and said the alien interview was fake, that they faked it, that they spent the money on whatever, because you'd need $250,000 to $300,000 to fake this video. It's that intricate and complex. So there may be some big publicity coming up on that. My buddy John Stewart, not the other John Stewart that you saw completely freak out from the Capitol the other day. And he's never appeared in public really much. And you don't realize the guy's like, he's a midget. He's only like 5'1", and he's got an unshaved beard. He just looks like a homeless guy living in a Starbucks bathroom. And he went off yelling at somebody about some abortion thing or something. So he made the news just being a lunatic. And so the challenge of this is that Sala had done a video interview with Ghost Walker, and I was supposed to – well, what I did was authenticate his story, because this was before I told anybody about when I found the hilltop that looked down on Area 51. And I took the LA Times reporter out there, my friend Shannon Sands, and you know, she did like a front-page story on this, which is the first time – everybody in Vegas and Nevada knew about Area 51, and they knew about Bob Lazar, and they knew about George Knapp, who was on Channel 8 there. He'd won some Emmys for a documentary he did called UFOs Best Evidence. Still one of the best documentary series on UFOs. And we had interviewed Bob Lazar for our UFO Contactees documentary in January of, was it 90? No, it was January 90. And Bob's story has completely changed. I mean, he saw an alien on the base. He saw, you know, all kinds of stuff, supposedly. And then I read his book, Dreamland, thinking this would make a great movie, and it's complete crap. It's like the stories that I heard from John Lear and then heard from our videotaped interview with Lazar are just completely different. So I don't know if he's lying. I don't know if they gave him the pine-scented Kool-Aid to force him to change his story, or he wanted to be somehow more accepted by the mainstream press or whatever for changing his story. And, you know, for example, I mean, big difference was that right before he showed up at the house of John Lear, when Bill Cooper was there and George Knapp was there as well, he was showing up there because he'd been taken out of the desert and beaten the hell out of by this guy, Dennis Mariana, who was the red-haired captain or lieutenant or something at 5-1. Who was jumping all over him because he had taken John Lear out on a Wednesday night for him to see the saucers flying around. And that's why he came out and did what he did, because he'd just been beaten up. And George Knapp said, look, I'll black you out. You know, nobody will know who you are. And so he said, okay, because he was so mad after getting pistol whipped, where this guy put a gun in his mouth and said, do you have any idea who you're messing with? You know, we'll kill you. We'll kill your wife, we'll kill your parents, we'll kill everybody you know, and we'll kill you last. And he kind of left them out in the desert to walk back to wherever it was, and he was so angry. He finally showed up at the house, and they did this blacked out interview. Of course, Bobby's got this weird kind of voice, you know. He's like, I saw this, and blah, blah, blah. And they didn't black out his voice. So, like, the next day, Lazar was going to get his driver's license or something, and he gets a phone call from Dennis Mariana, who says, hey, Bob, I saw your little TV show last night. And Bob just froze. And he says, do you have any idea what we're going to do to you now? And he hangs up the phone. So he's in shock, and he goes to the DMV. And for some reason, they won't give him his driver's license. It's on hold or something, because you get it right there at the window. And he flips out, and he finally goes back to George Knapp and says, they're going to kill me. And Knapp said, okay, well, then the only way out is through. So let's do an interview with you full face. You can tell your story. And then if you do get ganked, you'll at least have some credibility. Yeah, you died because of this. And that whole story changed to, no, Bob, the reason we didn't call you back to work, because he only worked at 5-1 for 16 days between December, because we actually have the pay stubs from the Office of Naval Intelligence for him to, for him to do what he did. And he was told that the reason he wasn't called back is because in their investigation of him, that his wife was having an affair with her airplane flight instructor. And it's like, so we just let you go. And you're like, what? So, I mean, that's not a very exciting ending to a movie. And, so there was that. I mean, there was other stuff in there about he called his mom to get his documents, and his mother walked into his bedroom in his house in Florida, and everything was gone. Everything. The furniture, the bed, it's like stuff. And the parents had been home the whole time. And it's like things were just teleported out of the room. So none of that's there now. All of it's, I think he lives in Michigan now. And he just wants to be left alone, I suppose. But obviously a very big change from, what was going on before. So anyway, okay, Montgomery, it's always a pleasure to spend time with you and hang out with you on the radio. I was feeling kind of down today about what's going on and what's ahead. And so it looks like I'm going to continue to do the alternative therapy, the colloidal silver, the Escazool, the Brio Mixol, if I can ever get it again and get it past my crazy landlady. So we'll see. But it's thanks for being my friend, and thanks for hanging out with me and say hi to all the folks in Australia. By the way, how is your Melissa? She doing okay?
As she is, and I'll have a chat to you off air about stuff. Well, we're actually doing the comedy show with Andrew Bartzis tomorrow night, which is Friday your time. Ah, these time zones. So we've got that coming up. And so, we're all going well. And she's nudging me in the right direction to actually, I've got T-shirts for sale now. And so I'm making sure I can get the right link and everything else. And yeah.
What do the T-shirts say?
Well, one is the Lazy Time Lord. That's what Andrew refers to me as. you can meditate or raise your vibration. I'm like, nah, I'm trying to slow time down. I'm going the other way.
That's funny. Yeah, so you're diluting time. You're doing what the UFOs do, where they dilate time, actually. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's like, well, I'm very contrarian, as my mum said when I was born. I was born and wasn't breathing, and the nurse threatened to smack my bum, and I started screaming, and my mum said, oh, he'll be contrarian. Like, yeah.
And that continues with all of his romantic relationships until this day, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, and I'm leaving the house tonight, and the moon's in Scorpio. Wow.
Yeah. Very sexy, baby, very sexy, so. Yeah, just go, dress up in your crushed velvet with your ascot, your ruffly ascot. That's right, man. That's right. Go take on Dr. Evil, man.
Yeah, I'm going to a death metal gig, but however, the death metal heads will probably accept that. Me dressed as Austin Powers.
Yeah, you know what I noticed about that is that you can have a song that's written by Skull Crusher, that's performed by Insane Clown Posse, and as long as you put a banjo in it, it's country music.
More bongos.
Yeah, more bongos. See, you just need to follow around. You need to follow Kamala Harris around with bongos, because anything she says, if you put bongos in it, it sounds like it makes sense, because she just repeats the same thing over and over again, and it's basically beat poetry if you just put some bongos in it.
Yeah, it sounds like if Mike Myers actually did a sequel to So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Right. Yeah, it's just watching Nancy Pelosi in the last couple of days trying to start a war with China just to keep the Democrats in power. It's pretty great. All right, is of course myself, Monty Crazy Legs Dean. You've been listening to Strange Universe. Check out Before It's News. Check out my interview with Michael Sala. on ExoPolitics and my interview with lovely, lovely Gary Cassidy. See you tomorrow.
Listening to Revolution Radio.
Held up. Still out there?
You going back in?
There's still men out there.
God damn.
When I go home, people ask me, hey, Hoot, why do you do it, man? Why? Some kind of war junkie? I won't say a goddamn word. Why? They won't understand. They won't understand why we do it. They won't understand it's about the men next to you. That's it. That's all it is.
Revolution Radio. FreedomSlips.com. Number one listener supported radio. The printing press for freedom at a time when freedom is needed the most.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs, government corruption. This is